Hello and welcome to a special bonus episode of Must See Matches, a palate cleanser for us as much as you before we close out this series next week with our number one most nominated match. Hopefully you will have noticed from the thumbnail and from listening last week, of course, that this is a draft episode and we will explain everything that entails very soon. I'm your host, the Chilly Draft, Kieran Lefort, and joining me, the draft excluder, Mark Buckledy. Mark, how's it going?
I'm good, thanks. It is sad that my house does have a draft excluder.
Oh, is it in the shape of a snake? Does it got like the tongue and the everything?
Sadly, it is not in the shape of a snake or a dachshund, which is the other shape that I remember as a child.
I've not seen those. So my family, like during the 80s when I was growing up, all the draft excluders were Sammy Snake.
I can't remember whose it was. There was a Sammy Snake somewhere. This is a weird conversation.
This is the chat down the pub before we do the main event. We should also introduce the person who came up with this whole draft thing, the draft king, if we can call him that without fear of a copyright strike, Eamon Bell. Eamon, good to see you again. How you been since last week?
Doing good. Thanks, Kieran. I was going to say I'm a draft dodger or also a conscientious objector.
Excellent.
In this case specifically, I am conscientiously objecting to having a working microphone.
apparently so.
But hopefully we'll cross our fingers and hopefully this will sound fine.
We've enlisted the backup.
Yeah, I have full faith in your editing capabilities to take care of this.
He's dealt with me for 2 years. He's up for it.
Yeah, this is it, Mark. Right, we can take it easy. He does the work.
It's funny, this week I've listened to the episode we recorded last week, which, if you haven't heard it, is Katsuyori Shibata versus Kazuchika Okada from Sakura Genesis 2017, currently being lauded as our best episode ever. And I listened to one from very early in the run, and the difference in our audio quality between then and now is stark.
Really?
Yeah, to my ear at least. So, Eamon, do you want to explain, you did it at the end of last week's episode, but do you want to explain the basics of this draft and how you came up with it to start with?
Yeah, so the idea of the draft is we are looking at, obviously, like we're going through lots of matches. We've been going through lots of matches. I've been fortunate enough to be on quite a few episodes for matches I really like. Kieran and Mark obviously have gone through every single match. It would be weird if one of you wasn't on an episode, so of course you have. So I thought this would maybe be like a nice little recap or a way to kind of look back over everything that's been covered in terms of breadth and like the depth of the list. And personally, when I like to do like match of the year lists, things like that, we are into April now at the time of recording, and I still haven't set up my match of the year sheet. So I really need to get on that, my match of the year tracker. But a rule I set for myself when I'm finalizing my lists is only having one match per wrestler, because I think that I think that makes for like more interesting decisions, right? When you put your restrictions on the kind of the decision making process and the selection process, you have to kind of interrogate it more.
I think the restriction we place on this one is very interesting.
Right. So rather than like, oh, we'd all have like three Okada matches or like two or three Misawa matches or whatever, every wrestler can only be picked once. So again, to take the Okada example, if, say, Mark took one of the Okada Tanahashi matches, that eliminates all matches with Okada and all matches with Tanahashi from the drafting pool. So
I wonder if it's possible to do so much damage, we cannot get enough matches to fill out. One of us can't get enough matches to fill out their card.
I think we can make it work, but there'll be some left field choices.
Yeah.
I did have a thought about at one point of like, what if I approach this tactically to try and draft as many different wrestlers to reduce the options then that would be available to the two of you?
AKA Royal Rumble plus War Games plus Thunder Queen equals the world's longest ever card.
Exactly. I'm going to have an intermission during my show. There'll be a raffle. It'll be great. That's wrestling.
Yeah.
We also had a discussion. Very frustratingly, we ironed over some of the details after recording the Sabata episode.
Yes. I have a full rundown of the complete rules.
Okay, yeah, Kieran, go ahead.
Yeah, so we are going to have a 7-match card each. It will be snake-style draft, ABC, CBA. So if I have a randomizer with our names in it, I will randomize the names and we'll go in that order. So it may go Kieran, Eamon, Mark, Eamon, Kieran, and back and forward like that. So we will get equal number of picks. As we have not recorded the episode for the final match yet, which is Steve Austin versus Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13, that match is in play. However, the other bonus episode we did on Fuminori Abe versus Takuya Nomura is not in play because that match was not voted on by the public. That was a decision we made to record that extra episode.
Just very quick, full disclosure. I told Kieran and Mark after that was decided, I had been planning to try and draft that match in about the 6th or 7th round of this and hope they had just forgotten about it and would be too tired by that stage to argue it. So my first scheme was already figured out before we started.
Yeah.
So as we mentioned, once somebody picks a match, all other matches containing any participant in that match are off the table. There is the Neville Foley rule because it applies to just two people. Picking a Mankind match removes all other Foley personas, and Pac and Adrian Neville are the same person. Unbelievable, right? Good job we didn't end up with any El Generico. Eamon is covering his ears. Once you have your card, you can pick an arena from the matches you end up with. All matches now take place there, but otherwise happen exactly as they did at the time. Your arena can just magically expand and contract as necessary. Drafting a match also drafts the commentators, and you can choose up to 3-person commentary booth from the available commentators. Unlike the wrestlers, via the power of satellite, they can appear on more than one person's show. If you pick a match containing someone who has already been picked, you will be randomly assigned a match from Heroes of Wrestling and forfeit that turn. That is an 8-match card. I have an 8-sided die that I will roll should that come to pass. Incidentally, something I found quite amusing, that show contains 7 people who have been in matches we've talked about on this podcast in the 104, and 2 more who factored into the matches in the 104. If you get a match that contains any of those people, it does not remove their must-see match from the board. And if anybody picks the match that has those people in, shut up, it's magic, they can appear in both. That's the exception to the rule. And then when we're done, when this has all been edited and goes out for the world to listen to, we will put all 3 cards on our Twitter for you to vote on. And with our scheduling, we should be able to announce the winner on the final show. Any questions, comments, thoughts, feelings, and emotions before we get started? No, blank faces, just how I like it.
I'm saving all my emotional pleas to the end.
I'm just fascinated to see if everyone goes for the exact same person I think they're going to go for the start.
Well, if we're ready, I'm going to crack a Coke Zero directly into my microphone, which probably sounded horrible. I have the randomizer up on the screen. I've put it in alphabetical order. I'm going to press the randomize button so we see what the order is. And it will be Eamon choosing first, then Mark, then me, and then we go back in that order, backwards and forwards, until we have our 7 matches each. So, Eamon, what is your first pick?
Okay, so obviously there is a lot to choose from, but you know, when you're running a show, you're putting things together, you know, I'm not trying to think of just, you know, the individual match. I need to think about what that locker room is going to be like. You know, there's going to be a lot of big names, a lot of egos, a lot of tempers. So I need someone backstage to handle things. Mm-hmm. I need someone backstage with a level head who can keep everyone in line. So CM Punk versus John Cena from Money in the Bank 2011 is going to be my first choice.
Amazing.
What I would argue is the best match to ever happen in America, which is a point.
Yeah, I've heard you mention that before. I've seen you write about that on Twitter as well.
Yeah, which I feel especially strongly about now after the last 48 hours of Twitter. we don't need to get into that. But yes, that match is amazing. That match rules. I've mentioned them on a few podcasts. My fiance was in the audience for that show. So then, very cleverly,
I don't know if you mentioned that on this show, because we didn't have you on that episode yet. Feel free to tell that story.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't have much of a story, but this way then I get to be soppy and I also get to have them in the audience for this show.
we'll take any extra listens we can get.
I know, right? They're not going to listen to the full podcast. They'll probably listen to the first 10 minutes.
Hey, so, doesn't matter. Everything over 1 minute counts as a listen. It's Nielsen rules.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that match is amazing. I think it's incredible. I think John Cena punching John Laurinaitis is maybe the defining babyface moment.
He wrecked him with that forearm.
Yeah,
as well.
God
it's
bless
so
him.
Funny.
I'm not gonna spend a lot of time talking about all of the matches, but I talked before. I think John Cena is very comfortably one of the best wrestlers of all time. I went into that a bit on the Imaga show, and I think this is his best, probably. This, I would say, this is his best match. I think this is CM Punk's best match. CM Punk is a wrestler very important both in professional wrestling and then also in my own personal wrestling fandom. He means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if there are any scraps backstage, we know the Punker can handle it. And
apparently so.
Yeah, so what if we do a second draft card? It will just be all the backstage fights. is what I'll do. You need a plan for show two. That's what a lot of companies run into. They don't plan ahead.
All right. So this is a one-off supercard. This is the start of Aemon Championship Wrestling.
This is wrestling in the front and shoot fights in the car park in the back.
Tremendous stuff. Mark, you are next. What are you going to take first?
Ever since I thought about this, it's not the match that I have to have first. It's the guy that I have the most possible options with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking a Kenta Kobashi match straight off the bat.
Oh, you bastard.
And I was trying to work out, do I go for a big singles? No, I need a... I might only have one tag match, so I need a fucking badass tag match. So Kenta Kobashi gives me two options.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going for Kobashi Misawa versus Taue and Kawada from 6995.
Yeah, that I'm not going to lie, that was on my wants as well. Oh boy, that's a good one. We can discuss match order later, but main event or somewhere in the middle?
Yeah.
The opener?
it will depend, but I have a suspicion that'll be my main.
Wow. Big hitters to start. Well, I've got to have a good old think now, haven't I?
It's also like one of the first round options if you really want to make it hard for people, because he had so many nominated matches.
Yeah, I did wonder what like the most damaging seven picks would be. Like what would wipe out most of the board? It's the kind of thing I expect Mark to have actually figured out, to be honest. I didn't have the time. So I guess it's me.
Yeah.
And I'm taking a big hitter in terms of its stature and standing. I don't know how much it will remove from the board. Not as much as that, I don't think. And I am going to have Steve Austin versus The Rock from WrestleMania 17.
Ooh.
My show needs a main event. That is the main event of
North American pro wrestling.
Exactly, right? I think we had Dave Ryan from Days of Thunder on from that show, and it is the season ender episode of WWF. You know, it's the end. It's effectively the end of the Attitude Era, and it's the main event of like one of the best loved WrestleManias of all time. Still, 20 odd years on later.
I'll tell you now what I had on for Austin. as like a round four or round five idea. If I could, if he'd last that long, I was going to go for the Sting Squadron versus Dangerous Alliance. I was looking at that, but I figure probably there'll be a lot of big singles matches early on, so that might be a good pickup a little bit down the road. But Austin was the point that it could lose.
Mm. And we're snaking it, so it's me again.
Yeah, it's you again.
It is, yeah. Oh. Well, that one's drawing the house, so I can put whatever I want underneath that. What do I want underneath that? It may harm me later on, but fuck it. I'm taking my favorite match ever. I'm having the Toriumon four-way. Predictable, possibly, particularly among this company. But I got to do it.
I thought that would be your first pick, honestly.
I need a main event. The show needs... I was trying to think of a way to structure out a card, not just take seven matches I really like. And I do like both of these matches, obviously. But, like, you know, this has got to be voted on by the public. So, you know.
Fair. That's a nice pick, though. That's a great one. You got, like, the best of that kind of match ever, basically.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think so.
I've got a choice here. I can go for someone. The thing is, I can easily see my card being very Japan focused. And while that would suit me, I think I need some US stuff.
Yeah, you've got to think, who is your audience? Who do you want your audience to be?
So I'm going to go for a match that is almost the exact opposite of that main event.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going for Bret Hart versus Owen Hart.
See, Bret is another big... You've taken Kobashi and Bret Hart, two massive hitters, off the table. Oh, my God, that's... I mean, I don't know how personally damaging it is to my taste for what I was gonna pick, but, like, we've talked about how many nominations Bret got, how many times we've talked about him on the show, all of that kind of thing. That's a big one. And you started out this show. If you listen to the earlier episodes, Mark is not a Bret Hart fan.
It's about having him in the right matches.
Yeah.
Oh, also, ironically, I think I'm becoming an Owen Hart fan.
That's fair.
Because I've recently watched Owen Hart versus Bulldog in the build-up to Mania 13, and I'm going to say this now.
Mm.
I prefer it to Bret versus Shawn, Iron Man, and I prefer it to take a Shawn Hell in a Cell.
So is that the European title final?
Yeah.
Right. Yes. I remember that being very good. I haven't seen it for a long time. As is customary, I will be doing my watching of Raw in the lead up to us doing our final show. So I'll get to see that again as well.
I also don't think you're crazy saying you might prefer Owen to Bret.
Perfectly valid opinion.
Yeah, I've
not seen enough of either to make a hard and fast decision, but yeah, there's just something about it that clicks for me. But anyway,
a family turning out two wrestlers that good.
Yeah,
but they produced a lot of
and shit. turning out Bruce as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say the hit rate though, they have quantity and some standouts, but the average heart child is not necessarily something to brag
it's
about.
It's a litter of like four runts and two studs, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you get Bret and Owen, but you also get Bruce. Oh.
Anyway, Eamon, there's no Bruce Hart matches for you to choose, so who do you pick?
I might as well hang up. Okay, so some big stuff has been taken, but I think I'm good for my next two matches. I basically had four matches in mind I really wanted to, and it looks like I'm going to get at least three of them.
Hmm.
So is your second or third pick going to be Necro versus Joe?
It's going to be my second. Kieran, you asked, you know, you have to think, who is your show for? My show...
Sickos, that's who your show is for.
Yeah, my show is for sickos and weirdos and people who were watching Suicidal Dragon MVs in like 2007 on YouTube. You know, I said I had the best American match of the 2010s. Now I've got the best American match of the 2000s. Yeah, I want a mean, violent, unsafe looking match, and this is going to.
And you've also picked this one.
Yeah. And most importantly, and what we'll play in later, this also gives me the commentary team from that match. Which is my other big
you
part
sneaky boy.
Music. Yeah. I all of a sudden now I have that match and I have the ECW arena in play.
Hey,
I've got
I have Akira Fukasawa and Vince McMahon.
I bet I know who has better English, and it's not Vince. Okay, my third match I'm going to take, because I don't think anyone on this match has been taken yet, and I should be fine. So, Musty Matches is a podcast, I think, has been a great excuse to revisit stuff that I've liked for years and years. And it's also been great at introducing me to things I had never seen before. And this match, I don't think any of us had seen prior to talking about it, and maybe some other people. So in my head, this match is like the breakout star of must-see matches. So I am taking Aja Kong, Kyoko Inoue, Saki Hasegawa,
you madman,
Takako Inoue versus Cutie Suzuki, Dynamite Kansai, Hikaru Fukuoka, and Mayumi Ozaki from Thunder Queen Battle in Yokohama.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't blame you. I hate you for doing it. I think all of us would have wanted it.
That's why I took it this early. Mm. And also I figure, again, in terms of hitters to take off the board,
Aja Kong's
a huge one. Yeah.
You bastard.
Yeah, I think it only eliminates two other matches.
Yeah, it only eliminates two others. But spoiler alert, one of them was if not going to be my next pick, but then my pick after.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Go back and listen to that. You guys did a great episode on it, and with someone who can talk about it in more detail than me. That match rules. It's amazing. If you have not watched it, go watch it. If you have watched it, go watch it again.
It takes out two other matches, but I think Aja is the only person in that match who is in any other must-see match.
If not my third pick, my fourth pick was going to be Minami Toyota versus Aja Kong. That is now gone.
Not no more.
I'm getting a bit squeaky bum time here, and which is a soccer reference.
Well aware.
I've picked a match that I'd never watched before. I picked a match that is not one of my favorites. Fuck it, I'm going for one of my favorite matches ever. Katsuyori Shibata versus Tomohiro Ishii.
Whoa.
I've got a main event. I'm not having multiple 30-minute plus matches, but I'm having a fucking banger mid-card if I can get away with it.
I decided I didn't care about match length. That's Ishii's only match, isn't it, on our list?
And that only takes one other match off the board, but it takes Okada Shibata off the board.
It does, yeah. That's a very safe play in terms of, like, leaving planning. A field. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of... I got nervous. It's like, that's a match that I wanted, and I thought I could wait a bit later.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not going to risk it.
Honestly, I'm very surprised you took that over the Okada Shibata one. Like, I understand if you're thinking about in terms of match length.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Okada Shibata.
It's also about variety, and I always treat these things about thinking about the crowd actually being there, which is why I probably won't pick many 30-minute plus matches. I'm not saying I'm not going to, but in my head, I have an idea of what this card's like, and I'm now stacking that mid card.
I'm thinking of it as the people coming to this show know what they're getting into.
Yeah, especially if you got poses of Necro Butcher up.
Yeah. This is a show that has Necro Butcher and Aja
You've got Necro Butcher and Cutie Suzuki.
Exactly. This is the
oh, that's the best spit take I think we've got on this podcast. Oh,
nearly spat Coke on my jumper that is on the floor next to me then. Oh, so close.
This is for the discerning wrestling fan is what I'm putting together. Yeah,
apparently so.
What they're discerning, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my turn to discern. And I think my card needs an opener. And I think it's going to be the Midnight Express versus the Southern Boys, which I don't think eliminates everything else because yeah. The only other person in any of the matches is Bobby Eaton, and he's in the War Games, which has already gone because I picked Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like one of my favorite tag matches. The match I always assumed was the opener on the card because it's the first match on the commercial tape, and it just turned out WCW had hacked like four or five matches off the start of the tape. Yeah, I love this match. I really like our episode on it as well. I think it's might be our best two-hander. Yes, big fan. And I think this would be a good opener. What do I have next? As the snake turns. You are currently listening to The Thoughts of a Man Scrolling a Spreadsheet.
That's what this podcast is all about.
Yeah.
We excel.
Fuck's sake. Fucking hell, man. So I've got the Southern Tag. I've got the big WWF main event. I've got the multi-man Lucha Wrestling match. What else do I want? Fuck it. Let's have women bleeding and stabbing each other. I want Don Matsumoto versus Chikusa Nagayo.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that match. I was not sure if it would fit what I was looking for.
Yeah, that's that was another eye opener, wasn't it, for us? Much like the Thunder Queen. Like the intensity of that half hour presentation, and I'm taking the whole thing, not just the bell to bell, that entire 30 minutes of absolute mayhem.
A wrestling match is not just the bell-to-bell, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, although there's at least one on this show where we wished it was, because that would have got Stephanie McMahon out of the way and kayfabe breaking hugs out of the way.
Yeah, I'm going for another... I promise I'm not doing this on purpose, but I'm going for another one with multiple matches.
Oh, no.
I need some women on this list, and... Akira Hokuto, come on down.
Uh-huh.
But the question is, which match do I pick? And I'll go for my favorite Hokuto match that we've covered.
Mm-hmm.
Akira Hokuto versus Mako Satomura from Gaia. Because that is a absolute banger type match. It doesn't have Hokuto randomly wandering into the crowd.
No, but it does have her throwing a fucking sword into the crowd.
But that's fine, because that doesn't damage the tempo of the match. And someone has a badass souvenir.
You just know that she chucked that thing, somebody caught it, and then Kensuke came running out. I need that back, I need that back.
And who's going to tell him no?
Exactly. Good pick, good match. Excellent match, in fact.
I need to go back and watch it soon, I think, to be honest.
Amen, it is you.
Okay, so I've got three big matches so far. I'm really happy about
it. This big match list is bigger than your bloody table from last week.
So I'm going to break things up a little bit now with a bit of a palate cleanser. I'm going to take Orange Cassidy versus Pac from Revolution 2020. I think Pac is the only one who would have another match, so it's not
no,
a...
No, that's true. Yeah. It is also, like, that match was the what of this project. Like, a lot of people couldn't believe that it made the 104, or in fact got any nominations at all.
I think it's... It's a weird thing of comedy wrestling not being as valued.
Yes.
When in reality, listen, right? Like, we've all gone to a bunch of like shows in Europe. We've all sat through a lot of bad comedy in wrestling matches. Yeah, I would say it is easier to have an okay technical wrestling match than an okay comedy match. I think comedy wrestling done well is very, very hard.
If comedy wrestling was as valued as it should be, this list would be drowning in Florida's Brothers matches.
It is. And this is kind of the comedy wrestling spot, right? There are probably, I don't think this is, you know, the best comedy match of all time, or there's probably Orange Cassidy comedy matches I would prefer, or like a Chuck Taylor match. But in terms of what we have to work with, I think this is a great one. And I think Puck is excellent in it as the straight man. I think in terms of a straight man who is also willing to bump crazy and act extremely serious, I think he does about as good a job as you could get. A mistake a lot of wrestling companies make is they say, okay, we've got our comedy wrestler and we're going to bring in this other comedy wrestler.
Yes.
So they can do their jokes together.
Yes.
When in reality, it's
never works.
No, it's much better if you say, hey, we've got a comedy wrestler. Let's put him in with a serious wrestler.
Yes.
Because then it's funny.
Similar to as much fun as Cruiserweight versus Cruiserweight is, David versus Goliath is a tale as old as time. Put your Cruiserweight in with a giant who'll throw him around.
So yeah, that is number four for me. And then number five. So a very important thing I wanted to establish before we recorded was that we could pick our own commentary and venue and fans and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is very key to my decision to pick Walter versus Tim Thatcher, because it means I get the wrestlers and I get the match. I do not get the commentary. I do not get the crowd.
You can choose not to use them, but they're showing up. I thought you said you get the fans. You were going to go for Walter Ilya. But you don't get any fans.
Listen, if it was a choice between no fans and fans at this, I might take no fans. I rewatched that when you guys did it for the podcast, and I was like, you know, maybe there was something to this pandemic wrestling. Another COVID. That's what we need to sort this out. Walter rules, obviously. I absolutely adore Tim. I could talk about Tim Thatcher every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this match rules. I suppose it is as much about I really want Tim Thatcher to be on a show I run as much as anything else. Mm. But yeah, the match itself is obviously, I think, really, really great. As someone who likes their hard-hitting, mean technical wrestling, this is an excellent example of that. So yeah, going to go ahead and stick that one on.
I'm actually realizing how many matches on my I would like list are still in play.
Same. Mm. I'm doing okay, honestly.
Yeah, same here.
It's also fascinating to see which people with lots of matches have not been picked up yet. Mm. But when I came up with this list, I had a few sub-goals. And one of my sub-goals was I'm not doing a progress. I'm having more than one women's match on the card. And
will it be the second match on the card, though?
Well, I need to decide that. I'm going for Sasha Banks versus Bayley.
Good pick.
Yeah. I think it's an incredible match. I think it's like, 20 minutes or something like that. Mm-hmm. It feels tight. It's got big emotions. It was the highest ranked.
Yeah, it's the highest ranked women's match. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, because it was just above Hokuto versus, not just above, but it was above Hokuto versus Kandori. Mm. So I'll go for Sasha Banks versus Bayley.
I now get to pick five and six. And oh God, it's hard, not because a load of stuff I thought I wanted has gone. It's hard because there's still a shocking amount to pick.
Yeah. I can see these rounds actually being the ones where it goes from being a an embarrassment of riches to what can I pick?
Well, what do I pick?
I've got five matches in blue that are staring me in the face.
And oh, you color-coded.
I don't know how many are going to be left by the time I get to my seventh pick. Let's put it this way.
Yeah. So, do I go for something I want, or something that would actually like fill out this card in a logical fashion? I'm going to do so much editing on this episode because so much of it is just going to be silent thinking.
You know, but I think, you know, people enjoy the process. If you're listening to a draft,
I should leave in every single thought, single silent thought.
The entertaining parts of draft episodes are hearing someone pick something that nobody else thought of and hearing the reactions, hearing someone lose a pick they wanted, and then just hearing people struggle trying to make a decision.
Yeah. Yeah. I am surprised that nobody has yet picked Bryan Danielson. I am going to have Bryan Danielson.
I'm surprised you're picking Bryan Danielson.
I'm
going to
have Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega.
Oh, which, if I remember, is actually the Danielson match that you liked the most.
I think it was. Of the ones we've talked about, yes, I think it was. Maybe I'm still on a high from the pay-per-view over the weekend in which Bryan Danielson had a brilliant match.
I have not seen that.
It's worth your time. Let's say that. Yes, I'm going to have Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega.
Which makes my choice a little easier. But just a little.
Yeah. So what do I want for number six?
Oh, it makes it a lot easier because that's a good chunk of Omega matches now off the board. Mm-hmm. Not that Eamon was going to pick any, I imagine.
No, I wasn't. I did have my eye on Danielson Morishima.
Yeah,
I like
matches where people get to keep their eyes.
He kept it. Eventually
in a box.
I'll be honest. I was heavily considering Young Bucks versus Omega and Page as my next pick.
Mm. Yeah. Screw it. I'm going one for the heart, and it's a match that does no damage. It takes out nothing else on the board. Akito versus Venny. I adore that match.
That's on my blue list as well.
I love that match. It doesn't affect anything else. They are both only in that match. Eamon, you talked about, like, you know, comedy wrestling. That match for me is comedy turned into drama. It's edge of your seat comedy. It's superb. It's perfectly worked. I love it.
Honestly, I never put it down on my list because I assumed Mark would have taken it before now. So I was just like, I'm just not even going to bother listing it. You know, I'll just assume it'll be gone.
There are many, many other matches I can take, particularly if I wanted to play tactically and like stop you guys getting stuff. But like we said, like we watch every match for this twice. Mm. I watched that at least three or four times before we recorded our episode. Not including the watches we did for when we covered it back on DDT as well.
I think that might be one of the two or three matches where I actually did my notes watch first because I had that damn thing memorized.
Pretty much, yes. Yeah, hell with it. Boy, this is turning into an eclectic card, eh?
I'm having a look at what my card has.
I like it when you have a look into the microphone.
I'm having a look at what my card has on my list of what everyone's picked, and this sums me up.
I see scribbles.
It is the back of a bill. It is back of a bill envelope because that is how I roll. I just pick random bits of paper.
Recycling's cool, man.
I'm realizing I've got brother versus brother. I've got two underdogs fighting from underneath. I've got badass heels dominating. I've got assholes just beating the shit out of each other. What holes have I got? What holes are there? I've got good action. I've got heart. Do I go for absolute mad shit?
If you want, like, what is Buckle Deep Pro Wrestling putting on?
I don't know if it fits what I'm putting together.
I don't know why. I don't know if what I'm putting together fits. I think I've got the pieces from seven different jigsaws when we get to the end of this.
Fuck it. I'm going wild with this one. The Dudley Boys versus the Hardy Boys versus Edge and Christian. Fuck it. I'm going for it.
Why not?
And that, I think, leaves only two matches left in our top 20 that haven't been picked, I think.
Yes. I'm looking at it now.
I'm going for TLC too.
Yeah. That is also another match that doesn't harm any other selections.
Mm.
The participants in that match are unique to that match.
In that they didn't have very many good matches after it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, that's not fair to Edge or Christian.
No, not really. It's
completely fair to Matt Hardy and Bobby Ray Dudley.
Yeah.
I made a little text-based appearance on the Days of Thunder pre show for the AEW pay-per-view, in which I said that since showing up in AEW, Edge has not half-assed anything.
Yeah.
Like, he seems to be legitimately invigorated, and he is doing with the younger wrestlers what Chris Jericho thinks he's doing with the younger wrestlers.
Absolutely. It is exactly that. Yeah. He's definitely not just like stealing their heat and everything. And,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe. Now, do you have five matches, Eamon? And these are your last two picks?
Yeah, I have five matches. I've got a lot to pick from still.
I know, right? I'm looking up. I'm scrolling up and down. It's like you could make incredible cards out of stuff that is left.
Like, it was kind of like, all right, like I said, like I have my tier one and my tier two, but I've got so much of my tier one left that it's like, well, I've got like three matches left in here. And then I've got a good chunk in my tier two. Okay. Tier one, though, let's start off. Two wrestlers I don't think have been taken. My memory's not great, so I might have missed it at this stage, but I think I am safe in picking Minoru Suzuki versus Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yeah.
King of Pro Wrestling 2012. That, I mentioned it before, that is the only other match I would sort of think about as being in contention with Okada Shibata as like the best New Japan match of the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is like an actual like genius piece of wrestling.
And you know, like, it just came about because they were sitting in the locker room one night and went, do you reckon we can do this? Mm-hmm. And get away with it. Like, it's sort of like, it's almost like watching a bank robbery.
Yeah.
Oh, I've just spotted something. Well, do you want to know what's really funny?
What's really funny?
Because of that, Kazuchika Okada is off the board and no one picked him.
Wow.
Okada is off the board because he only had matches with three opponents and we've all picked their matches with other people.
Amazing. Cut to him sitting sadly in the crowd
with a balloon.
No, it's him crying again, like at Wrestle Kingdom.
Wow.
Okay.
So now you've had that high, Eamon. What do you pick?
Yeah, the final match. Your final match.
There is so much I could go for, and I have so much like still on my list, and I'm even looking at stuff in terms of, well, it's a good match, but also I'd get the venue then. You know, I'm even thinking about things in that way a little bit still. Fuck. Okay. I am going to take Jaguar Yokota versus La Galactica.
I did not expect that to go in a month for Sundays.
I really liked the match. I thought it ruled.
Interesting. Because I remember watching that and thinking and wondering why it's considered special, why it got as many votes as it did. Like, yeah. I thought it was sort of like perhaps like representative of what was going on at the time.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel it stood out.
I think it was specifically, I really liked Jaguar Yokota. And again, in the spirit of like matches I really came away thinking about that I had, and like wrestlers I hadn't seen before. The only thing I feel bad about now is I've only got one tag match. Everything else is singles matches. But it's the 8-person Iron Woman, so I think it balances out.
Yeah.
Because it'll probably take as much time on the card as about 2 or 3 of these. But yeah, that is my final pick.
It's my final pick, and I am torn. There are two things that I think I want to add, but I can't add them at the same time. Mm-hmm. I either want a really slick, get you engaged opener, or I want absolute hatred. And what do I go for?
You've already picked Mayhem and Chaos. In fact, we've each picked at least one Mayhem and Chaos match.
Yes, but Chaos is not hatred. Chaos is not hatred.
Oh, I don't know. I'm a bit like a Chaos at this point. I could deal with that stable going away.
Okay. Your Chaos is hatred. Kieran's got the hatred with Dump versus.
Yeah, and if you call that anything other than Chaos, you need a new prescription.
I've got the Chaos. I've got the fighting from underneath. I suppose I've got hatred, but it's from Kawada's perspective.
Who hates everybody?
Yeah. Oh God, I've got 3 matches. I got 3 matches, and I'm just really struggling between them. What shocked me is I'm probably now looking at the 3 matches I've got to that I'm choosing between. I'm going to have more non-Japanese matches than Japanese matches, which is kind of not what I expected.
And you're probably going to stage it
in
the bloody Tokyo Dome as well, aren't you?
I don't have the Tokyo Dome, mate. I think I've got Budokan or MSG. That's a pick. I'll take those options.
What a choice. Flip a coin.
Okay. We'll do it in MSG, but we'll somehow have people caring about Kawada versus Misawa anyway. we need to give the Yanks some hate that they can get behind. Logistically, this is going to be a fucking nightmare, but I don't care. Magnum TA versus Tully Blanchard in Yugo.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Got to say, it was on my wants list.
It was. I'll tell you now, because Kieran's only got one pick left. I was torn. The other two I was torn between Flair versus Funk and Eddie versus Ray.
I thought about Flair versus Funk a lot.
Mm-hmm. I thought about both of those a lot.
Yeah.
Because, like, it seems rude not to have Terry Funk on one of these cards.
Yeah. Don't really give a shit about Ric Flair, but I would like Terry Funk.
It also seems rude not to have one of my favorite wrestlers ever in Rey Mysterio Jr. on my card. And I don't know if I'm going to pick either of them.
I was thinking coming into this, you could have a pretty good card just with the leftovers.
And you still can. I've just been pondering, should we push this to round 8?
I will do a round 8.
Are we at Mark?
Okay, I'm happy going for a round 8.
Okay, so I will pick my 7 and 8, and then we'll go and Eamon will get the final pick. I think after that we have to stop, or we could get silly. I was thinking that 7 matches each would wipe out a lot of the board.
It hasn't.
It hasn't wiped out as much as I thought it would at all. But I need to figure out how I'm going to round out this show. I've got the Cruiserweight style stuff in the Toriumon match. Do I want a Ray match? That's a fight. That's a tag. That's a big main event. That's flying. That's your technical modern doodah. That's your fun comedy gimmick match. You may be able to hear the scrolling on my mouse wheel. Yeah, I'm making a lot of heart picks, but I'm not going to have Ray versus Eddie. I'm going to have Ray versus Psicosis from Bash on Beach 1996. Yeah. I don't know if I can articulate why, but they are, despite them having exactly the same finish, they are very different in style, I think.
And with that, we've only got one of the top 20 left available.
That's pickable, yeah. What do I want on this show?
Part of me just thought, do I need to consider Burnout? It's like, fuck it. I don't know if Burnout is something that we need to worry about.
No, I don't think it matters. Like, in this fantasy world, it doesn't matter that much, you know. I think an 8-match card is fine.
My fans are just built different. Maybe your weak-spirited, low-constitution fans can't hack it. Mine are made of sterner stuff.
My favorite bit is realizing that even at this late stage, you can still probably pick Royal Rumble 92 because no one's been picked.
You still can.
It's not even the best Royal Rumble, though.
What is the best Royal Rumble?
2001.
See, that's my pick for number two when it comes to Royal Rumbles. I think that's excellent. I think that is structured beautifully.
Yeah.
Is this is your number one this? I can't remember.
It's my number one Royal Rumble was 92. Still the Rumble 92. But it's more of a heart pick. I think 2001 is the head pick because like once you see it, you can't unsee how it's put together. Whereas 92 is more, feels more old school and free flowing and like they haven't really planned it all out in the back.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I am mostly just stalling here because I can't make a final pick. I just keep scrolling, thinking, like, I love that. I love that. I love that. That would be really good. That would fit well. That would be different. I love that one. Okay. What have we got? Let's look at this. Look at this. I currently have 5 singles matches, one of which is a bloodbath. I have a tag. I have the Toriumon Multiman. I incorporate Lucha, comedy, modern technical wrestling, the violent brawling, Southern Tag, Dragon System, WWF main event style. What else do I want? Maybe I shouldn't have pushed it to around 8.
Go take something from Heroes of Wrestling.
If I say the wrong thing, I might end up with something from Heroes of Wrestling. Is that too many gimmick matches if I pick that? Oh, sorry. I feel like I'm keeping everybody waiting.
That's fine. I think I've only got 2 gimmick matches. Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
And one of them isn't a gimmick. It's technically a lifestyle with TLC 2.
We should put a timer on this. Sorry. But I keep scrolling back and forth between 3 or 4 that I would really like.
Well, take your time because I'm using this time for my choices.
Yeah, yes.
So this is working out great for me.
Hmm. Oh, hell with it. I think I'm going to pick my semi-main. Shingo Takagi versus Will Ospreay.
I get it. Yeah. That's a cracking match. I was there live. I will not rub that in.
Yeah, you will not rub that in.
it gives you a Tokyo sweatbox as well if you want to run that.
I have been to that Tokyo sweatbox, and it was in fact sweaty.
So what's your last pick?
That's it.
Well, what was your pick before?
Ray versus Psicosis.
Oh yeah, I forgot to write that down.
Yeah, I have my 8. It's you next to pick your final one, I think.
Kieran, do you want to run us down what you've got, or do you want to wait?
I think we'll wait till the end, and then we can run down. And then I think what we'll do is we'll switch off the recording, and we can do some off air shuffling about and pick our commentators and all that kind of thing. I will play some sort of musical interlude for the fans, and then we'll come back and we will run down what our cards are from opener to main event with some reasoning if we like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But right now it's Mark's turn to pick his last match.
I'm gonna do the ultimate swerve and pick an Undertaker match.
I did wonder if you would. I will say, now that I have no more picks left, and well, this may influence Eamon, I don't know. Mankind versus Undertaker was in strong consideration as my last pick.
I was thinking for a while about Mankind versus Michaels from My Name, but I was like, I just don't want to book Shawn Michaels.
I think we can very easily have Shawn as one of the few people not drafted.
Well, I mean, Mark got the Brett match, so there's no chance of them scrapping backstage at your your show. Yeah.
You know what? Fuck it. There's lots of matches that all feel similar and feel like, oh, it's just adding another match. Mm. So I'm going to pick. So if I'm just going to add another match, I'm going to pick a really fucking short one. Kenta versus Ricky Marvin, just to pop the crowd.
Nice, nice.
Great pick.
Now where the hell to slot that in?
I mean, it's 3.5 minutes. It can go where you like. It's 2.5 minutes, isn't it?
No, it's 1:50, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Eamon, speaking of 1:50, that's all you've got left to make this pick.
Okay, so looking at my card, I've got all singles matches except for one, which is the Thunder Queen match, and the Thunder Queen is also my only real gimmick match. And even then, it's like an Iron Woman, which isn't really quite the same thing, and I would like a cage.
Oh, I know what one you're going for, then.
I don't think you do.
What?
Because I am making a last-minute gut decision to take America's Most Wanted versus Triple X.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going for.
Oh, I thought you thought... Okay, I thought you thought I was going to take... Oh, no, that was Exploding Barbed Wire, not a cage. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not Toyota versus Megumi Kudo.
Yeah.
Unless there was two of them in the match and I didn't notice from all the explosions.
I know. I did have a minute of like, was Funk Onita a cage match or not? No, that was just...
Well, Funk Onita is gone.
No, it hasn't.
No, oh, Funk has been taken.
No.
Oh.
I thought about it.
Funk,
yeah.
I'm very sorry. Poor Terry Funk never got picked.
That's fucked.
Kind of.
I know.
But it's also a sign of the quality of the rest of the list and the diversity of the rest of the list.
Yeah.
AMW Triple X.
Not only, obviously, great match. It gets me tag teams. It gets me a nice big gimmick with the cage, a very memorable spot.
You've got to wheel in a six-sided ring.
Oh, this might all happen, and all of my matches might take place in a six-sided ring. Honestly, the other reason I'm picking this is to give myself the option of the Impact Zone and Don West and Mike Tenay on commentary.
You thought,
I'll give you Don West.
You thought very much about the periphery, haven't you? Like the whole package.
Yeah, I've got what am I getting in terms of my value, right? I'm also going to get, obviously, a big spot that will do well with all the GIF accounts on Twitter.
Eamon, do you know when you said earlier on that this card was for sickos?
Yeah.
It's a card for sickos.
So there we go. That is...
We're going to make John Cena wrestle in the Impact Zone, baby.
Yeah.
So shall we start with the person that got to draft first running down their card?
Yes, who got to draft first and last because we changed the rules. yes, do that. Right. Just don't put it in any order. Maybe just list them in the order you drafted them, perhaps.
Okay.
If you can.
I bet now we're going to find out someone's double picked. My card is CM Punk versus John Cena, Necro Butcher versus Samoa Joe, Aja Khan, the Thunder Queen match.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read everyone out. Orange Cassidy versus Pac, Walter versus Tim Thatcher, Minoru Suzuki versus Hiroshi Tanahashi, Jaguar Yokota versus La Galactica, and Triple X versus America's Most Wanted.
My card is Kenta Kobashi and Mitsuru Misawa versus Toshiaki Kawada and Akira Taue, Bret Hart versus Owen Hart, Katsuhiro Shibata versus Tomohiro Ishii, Akira Hokuto versus Mako Satomura, Sasha Banks versus Bayley, The Hardys versus The Dudleys versus Edge and Christian in TLC 2, Magnum TA versus Tully Blanchard, and Kenta versus Ricky Marvin.
I think we've managed to escape without Heroes of Wrestling.
Yeah.
I think we did it.
And without Shawn Michaels.
Or Ric Flair or The Undertaker.
Or sadly, Terry Funk.
Yeah, that's a shame. My card was Steve Austin versus The Rock, the Toryumon four-way trios match, Midnight Express versus the Southern Boys, Chigusa Nagayo versus Dump Matsumoto, Brian Danielson versus Kenny Omega, Akito versus Venny, Ray versus Psicosis, and Will Ospreay versus Shingo Takagi. We're going to go and put all our stuff in order. You don't need to listen to that. Enjoy whatever I play here. Maybe it's some classic clips from old episodes. Who knows? If I can be bothered to put that together. Maybe it's just a piece of music I found. Maybe it's a wrestler's theme tune. Who knows? We'll be back when that's finished. And we will run down our cards, our venues, our commentators, the whole shebang. We'll catch you in a bit. Hope you enjoyed that little interlude. We are back. We are refreshed. We have thrashed out our cards. We have chosen our venues, chosen our commentators, kind of. Amy, would you like to go first? Would you like to run down your card from start to finish? Where's it taking place? Who's on the call? All of that.
That felt like it very much had the energy of, I need another minute to finalize a couple of choices.
No, I'm finalized. I was going to go in order of like starting picks. So you picked first, but then, as I said, we changed the rules and you ended up picking last as well.
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. So we are coming to you from the mecca of American wrestling, the Impact Zone, circa 2005. So, even if the other matches previously didn't take place in a six-sided ring, just imagine that they are.
It's not going to be like that Toriumon versus T2P show where they have both set up.
Well, it is tempting, but I'd rather watch like John Cena have to do his like rope run entrance, but have to adapt for six sides.
Yeah, accidentally crashing into turnbuckles.
Exactly. Mm. We are going to change up our commentary teams during intermission.
Oh, our first, he's cheating half, already.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, in a promo, right? Once we're on the show, you can say whatever you want.
Car's subject to change.
Exactly. So my opener is going to be Jaguar Yokota versus La Galactica. Nice heated match to get everyone going.
Mm-hmm.
Then we are going to go into something a bit loud and very mean with Walter and Tim Thatcher. After that 1-2 punch, I think the crowd are going to need something to catch their breath with, a little bit of a breather. So that's Orange Cassidy and Pac, which, you know, I think the contrast of that following Walter and Tim will be very fun for the audience.
That's a 1-2 punch and then a glass of cold water in the face.
Exactly. And then our last match before intermission, Chris Harrison, James Storm versus Christopher Daniels and Elix Skipper in the Six Sides of Steel.
That is a very violent first half with a random comedy match in the middle of it.
Well, wait till you hear my second half of the card. You think that sounds violent? And our commentary team is Tony Schiavone, CM Punk, and the big man himself, Don West. That is our team for the first half of this card. Our second half of the card, we are opening with an hour-long match just to get people nice and settled back in with the Thunder Queen,
plenty of time to find your seat.
Yeah. No, that match starts out hot, remember?
Yeah, I know.
Then we're following that up, Minoru Suzuki versus Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Two matches.
Then our semi-main, CM Punk versus John Cena. And then our main event could only be Necro Butcher versus Samoa Joe. The crowd will be tired, so we're going to give them something high energy, but it's also less than 10 minutes long. And because we're including the before and after, we're also getting an Ian Rotten promo at the end of this, which, knowing Ian Rotten, may go as long as the card that preceded it.
And then does the home version have all the extra angles and slow motions on the way the home version did originally?
You're going to, Kieran, again, like with the original match, you're going to watch this and think to yourself, I could cut together a better version of this.
I was going to say, finally, what we've always wanted, Samoa Joe versus Necro Butcher in a six-sided ring. But how much time did they realistically spend in the ring in that match?
Very little.
Yeah.
Of course, our referee, Bryce Remsburg, and the change we will have to our commentary team in our second half, Don West staying on, obviously the steady hand and the signature voice of the Impact Zone, but joining him for the second half of this show will be Excalibur and Eddie Kingston.
Jesus Christ.
I am just imagining Don West experiencing that Samoa Joe versus Necro Butcher match.
Yeah. Think about Don West watching that match. Then think about Eddie Kingston reacting to Don West reacting to the match. See? This is why I was also keeping commentators and venues in mind. Because the Impact Zone would go very loud for loads of shite. So I feel like if I throw this card in there, the place is going to go absolutely nuclear.
Fair. Mark, would you like to go next? The snake continues in its original fashion.
It is a Yakuza money well spent, is my promotion.
I was torn between
two venues. Is that the name of Mark's card?
I was torn between two venues. Mm-hmm. It's like, what suits better? Nippon Budokan or Madison Square Gardens? You know, two places no one's ever heard of.
Yes.
I think maybe the Japanese crowd might shit on the US matches a little less than the US crowd might shit on the Japanese matches. So because it's where the main event took place, I choose Nippon Budokan.
Mm-hmm.
My commentary take is very different. I have a Japanese commentary team of who I assume is Akira Fukuzawa. If not, it's the Japanese commentator that did the lead on the main event. And because I couldn't work out who did get color commentary on any of the other ones, I went with Giant Baba, which is incredible. Giant Baba doing TFC2.
Podcast favorite.
I'm struggling to collect myself here.
That's fine.
If Milano Collection AT did a version of Shibata versus Ishii, I'm having him in the Baba role because him doing TLC 2 is possibly funnier than Baba.
Well, he'll have to get his skates on because he's wrestling on my card.
Very, very quick. When you say Milano Collection 80 in the Baba role, is that him
color commentary or doing not wearing the Baba jumpers?
I was going to say doing a giant Baba impression during his commentary.
No, he's not Kazuchika Okada in Heller's Town.
Milano Collection AT has a way of rolling the cuffs on his sleeves that I've never worked out, but looks really cool.
I
need to figure it out. The other thing I need to figure out is the John Cena one-handed T-shirt removal that I've never managed to do.
Same. It's that, and also the Miyu Yamashita kick and take the belt off in one motion.
Yes. Yeah.
That's.
So my English commentary team, I could go all Frankenstein and mad scientist like Eamon has done, but no, I just picked the best commentary team that Mania ever had, Jim Ross and Paul Heyman.
All right.
So my card, I literally did a last minute change while Eamon was running down his cards, so this could go poorly. Oh. Opener.
It's like Nitro.
Kenta versus Ricky Marvin.
All right.
And then to keep people off pace, second match, TLC 2. And then in the cooldown spot, because they can get people back in and it suits the pace, Bret Hart versus Owen Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Sasha Banks versus Bayley. Then to probably close off before intermission, Magnum TA versus Tully Blanchard.
Oh boy, you're not gonna let the crowd have intermission for the cage to go up. You're gonna make them wait while they put up the cage, then do the match, then do intermission.
I'll give them the intermission, put the cage down. Yeah. Oh, I'll do intermission, then I'll do Magnum versus Tully with the cage down.
Okay.
And then after they've waited for the cage to come up, let's give them some Shibata versus Ishii to get them back into it. and then follow it up. They're into it, so their reflexes there to duck swords. It's Akira Hokuto versus Meiko Satomura.
The sword will ricochet off the suspended cage.
I will remind you, there's the NWA of 1985. I don't think that cage was suspended on anything. A bunch of blokes ran in, clamped it all together, and ran out again.
And the main event, of course, Mitsuhara Misawa and Kenta Kobashi versus Toshiaki Kawada and Akira Taue, who I forgot to write on my notes.
Excellent.
Sorry, Taue. But yeah, so considering that that match is a little disappointing for some fans, at least I gave them some favourites winning in the undercard.
A fine card. Two fine cards. Before I get into mine, in the run-up to this, I was looking through the 104 and we mentioned briefly, like, what could be the picks that did the most damage? What was the seven match card that would do the most damage? I went the opposite direction. We have 10 matches on the 104 that affect nothing else if we'd pick them. So your bonus card is, and this will contain some matches that have already been picked. These are the 10 mm-hmm. matches that don't affect anything else. Magnum TA versus Tully Blanchard. Daisuke Okada versus Yuki Ishikawa.
That was like one of my two hardest cuts.
Yeah.
That was right on the ball.
I did wonder if you'd take it. Masakatsu Funaki versus Tatsuya Nakano. Jaguar Okota versus La Galactica. Akito versus Venny. Megumi Kudo versus Combat Toyota, No Rope Exploding Barbed Wire. Atlantis versus Viano 3, Mask versus Mask. I came, if I had not chosen Rey versus Psicosis, I would have had that to fill a lucha slot, because talking about that match on the episode really made me want to see it again. I got a new appreciation. When we talked about it with Cubs fan, I got a new appreciation of it and saw it in a light I hadn't seen in when watching it for the show. Along the same lines, but one I don't think I will ever watch again, MS1 versus Sangre Chicana. I don't know what it is about that match that works for other people and not for me, but it's just not for me. Dudley's versus Hardy's versus Edge and Christian. And let's put this one in the main event, Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka. And also, of course, our bonus episode match, Fuminori Abe versus Takuya Nomura, also fits that bill. Yeah. So yeah, we could make it is possible, and was actually part of my thinking when I was making my card. I had those 10 matches listed out as go-tos, as if stuff I wanted got taken.
That's very clever.
Also, very quickly, you know how we cut that loophole out? There was one loophole match we could have picked.
Which was?
The SummerSlam 93 version of Hennig versus Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect versus Bret Hart, because we covered, no, the King of the Ring 93 version, because we covered, because when we did Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, we covered two matches.
Kind of,
we probably
one of them wasn't voted for.
Yeah.
Or didn't get enough. Yeah, I forgot we talked about that as well.
That was the other possible loophole, but we cut it off.
Yeah, I wonder what you're talking about. I haven't listened to that episode in ages. Didn't even remember we'd done that.
Sorry, Arne, you're that memorable.
What I had been thinking in my head was like, well, Parm was on the show and Makabe was on the show. Could I just book them in a single
is that your dark match?
Yeah, that's my dark match. Hang on, I'm writing it in.
So if the people in it hadn't been picked, my bonus dark match was going to be Kenny Omega versus Pac, the Iron Man match from Dynamite, because I ended up, when I was doing like the TV watches, I ended up seeing that match twice over the course of the run of this podcast, because we have two matches from the pay-per-view that follows it. Yeah. So Kieran Mania will emanate from Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Mm.
I had many, many options for a venue, but I thought that felt big, but also middle of the road.
Mm.
So it's not the giant stadium in Texas where Rock and Austin takes place, but equally it's not my favorite place in the world. It's not Little Corican Hall. It's a 20,000 seater. I think it's a good happy medium. We open with Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Psicosis from Great American Bash 1996. Fast paced opener, as it was at the time. It gets Lucha covered, and it gets one of my favorites on the show. Second match is a Midnight Express versus the Southern Boys from Great American Bash 1990. The greatest of the Southern, the greatest of the 80s Southern tags that actually takes place in 1990. match number three, modern technical style is covered as Brian Danielson takes on Kenny Omega. And then leading into the interval, it's all the fireworks. It's everything from the entrances to that final submission. It's the Toriumon four-way.
Oh.
After the interval, we won't go too intense. We'll have Akito versus Venny in the Ippon Light Tube match. I didn't list the stipulation when I called it out. Yes, it's the Ippon Light Tube match. Match number six for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title, Will Ospreay versus Shingo Takagi. Match number seven, the semi-main event, Run for Your Lives, Dump Matsumoto versus Chikusa Nagayo. No seat in the building is safe. Scissors will be flying everywhere. And then, of course, it is The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin from WrestleMania 17 on top with, as I was reminded during the interval, the crowd-killing Steve Austin heel turn.
Okay, here's the thing. I like heel Steve Austin in 2001. I think people were wrong at the time to not like it.
I don't know. I'm not sure. For me, well, this is a whole other thing. It's too much comedy. Like the backstage and the in-ring don't match, particularly when it comes to Kurt Angle.
That's fair.
Who is attached to Austin at that time. Like tiny cowboy hats and silly guitars backstage, and then he's supposed to be an ass kicker when he comes out. It's like the curtain changes his personality.
That's fair.
I think the same can be said of Austin during that time as well. Mm-hmm. As entertaining as individual stuff was.
As a cohesive whole, yeah.
As a cohesive whole, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't hold up, I don't think. My commentary team has got seven people on it, so there's going to be some cycling in and out. I might eliminate Jim Ross because he's been there and done that. I may also eliminate Paul Heyman because he is busy in Budokan at that time.
He heard Masato and Tanaka and Awesome were asking for their check.
My main commentary team is going to be Excalibur, Bobby Heenan, and Milano Collection 80. And when Milano is busy in the Toriumon match, and I'm cheating slightly because it's retroactive commentary rather than live commentary, Jay Church of Dragon Gate will come in and translate everything that is going on in that match for the new viewers. And then just in case one of them gets a sore throat, Mike Tenay is sitting in the wings ready to jump in. So there we go.
I feel very boring until I think about Giant Baba talking about people falling off 20-foot ladders.
What are you learning on anyone? Just giant Baba doing the whole like old WWF, like, don't try this at home video. Yes, this is entertainment, but the hazards are real.
Oh, does anybody else have anything to say, or shall we wrap this up? How do you feel about your card, Eamon? Like, did you, like, you, as we were going through, like, you kind of said, like, I think that, like, you got a lot of what you wanted. Was there anything, like, you were particularly disappointed to miss out on?
I think the other match I definitely wanted was Okada Shibata. And I figured if I could get out of Joe Necro, Punk, Cena, Thunder Queen, and Shibata Okada, if I could get even two of those, I'd be doing well. And I, shockingly, I managed to get three. I couldn't believe I was able to get Thunder Queen.
I loved that match. I was never going to pick it, if I had like a spare slot at the end. It's just too long for me to pick in something like this.
I thought either Kieran would pick it, or I thought Aja Kong would be gone.
It was on my list.
I mean, Aja. I was taking Aja Kong.
He was backfisting all of us.
Yeah.
Aja Kong
Toyota was like, that was one of the first ones I wanted on my list. And it's probably the only match that stands out to me that someone took from me that I really, really wanted.
Hmm.
Mark, I thought you would get the Veni Light Tube match.
I was saving it for 6th or 7th slot.
Mm, that's the problem with these. And then, yeah, the ones I had in my head as kind of backup picks that I also just really wanted but didn't get around to. So I guess my honorable mentions, Tenryu versus Tsuruta, Ikeda versus Ishikawa, Funaki versus Nakano, and I was also thinking about Ibushi Nakamura and Funk versus Onita from the stuff that wasn't picked.
All of those crossed my mind in varying amounts.
Mm. Yeah.
Throughout the past hour or so.
You could put all those on a card and it might beat any of our, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. There's still great cards to be made up from the leftovers, even still applying the rules.
Mm.
Like, if we had a fourth person on this show, they could still make up a great card from what is left over.
And I think it's interesting as well that, like, you know, like, no one picked Okada, for instance. And I wonder, was there a bit of psychology of, oh, I don't want to rely on, I won't plan for getting him or someone like him or someone like maybe a Misawa after, say, the second round, because there's so many chances for them to go, you know?
Okada might have been tempting for Tanahashi, but thinking about it, when I started considering Tanahashi, it's like, well, no, I would go for the Suzuki match.
Hmm.
Hmm.
So really, the only chance I had of logically picking him was my 50-50 of, do I go Shibata Okada or do I go Shibata versus Ishii? But
yeah, I consider the Tanahashi match, and I you call me a basic bitch if you like. I also considered the 70-minute Kenny match. I really do like that match. I described it as Bollywood pro wrestling on the show. You know
that that's your opener.
It's RRR, the wrestling match.
But yeah, but
so what spots the tigers flying through the air?
But yeah, no, but I'm really happy with what I put together here. I think I've got a nice mix, and especially that, like, the second half of that card, very happy. Like, I was kind of annoyed that, like, you know, Eddie Kingston's not on the list, but I was able to get him in via commentary, you know.
And I'm sure you could schedule him a run in at some point to set something up for show two.
Not even just scheduled, he might just do it.
Exactly.
But yeah, like, I'm feeling pretty good about this, what I've put together here. Yeah,
excellent stuff. Mark, how about you? Any big misses?
I would have loved if I had Toyota versus Aja Kong. That's the one that stands out. Like, I would have gone with that. I think I'm fine. It's like, is my main event the strongest main event that everyone's picked? Well, okay, let's ignore Eamon's actual main event and some of the matches he could have had main eventing. But no, I'm perfectly happy with it.
I think in terms of classical match quality, you have the strongest of the main events.
Hmm.
I took the big populist choice and Eamon went for the sickos and the freaks.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas like you have a genuine like 5-star match on your hands. And like one of the big surprises for me of the run of the podcast.
I'm looking at it. Of the 8 I picked, only 2 of them are matches that I hadn't seen before, but they're absolute bangers.
Yeah.
That and the Hokuto versus Satomura match. Mm. But yeah, I picked a lot of favorites and I picked some matches that I hadn't seen for a while and came back and loved.
Tremendous.
Are you regretting not picking Terry Funk?
Partially yes and partially no, but I don't know which one I would pick of the 2 Funk matches.
Mm.
Like the Onita one has the spectacle and adds a big stip match to the card.
Yeah.
That could go anywhere on the card. Well, maybe not the opener. Like that's your halftime main event or your back from interval match or the main event because it's the big stupid spectacle.
And you'd get a hell of a venue as well.
Yes, yeah, Kawasaki Stadium, right?
Yeah.
Never
mind me having organized crime involved with like Yakuza involvement in mine. So if you're looking at Onita, you might get that.
Yeah, I'm looking down the stuff. So I wrote my list of what I called the damage-free draft, which was the 10 I talked about. And then I wrote underneath that what I actually want.
Mm.
And I ended up with 5 of them.
That's not bad.
That's very good.
1, 2, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Yeah, I had a list of 15, which was labeled what I actually want. And I got 5 of them. I would have liked one of the big Kobashi tags, but Mark destroyed that immediately.
I'm sorry. If Kobashi was there, I was taking Kobashi. Yeah, no, that was fair literally enough. My third. Yeah. That was so the first rule.
It's all fair. The rules are all laid out. Ray versus Eddie was on the list, but I picked Ray versus Psicosis because I felt it easier to bump the tag into the second match rather than have it as the opener and have a classic opener as my opener. And then the only one we haven't talked about really in this little section that was on my wants list was the 92 Rumble, mostly for the crack, like mostly just for, and that's just Jake. Yeah.
Let's go back to Heroes of Wrestling.
Yeah. Simply because like that's a sentimental favorite of mine, but like that's a big wage bill. No, I'm happy with my selection. I think I've got I've covered Lucha, Southern Tag, Modern Technical Style, Dragon System, Comedy, Modern Junior, Everything Style, which I guess is just Will Ospreay, women bleeding all over the place, hating each other and trying to tear the hair out, and then the big WWF main event. My semi plan for a card was something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Which was why I was looking at, for example, stuff like the Atlantis mask match and that kind of thing.
That's a good way to approach it. Like you can, like you set yourself up for kind of like a celebration of the breadth of pro wrestling, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Kieran's approach was something for everything. Eamon's approach was something for him.
Yes.
I also like to think that my card represents the diversity of the projects in the show.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it does. You've got a bit of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see how we do. Like I said, these will go on our Twitter because that's where we have more followers than Blue Sky or any of the other crap that we're on. And we'll hopefully get the most votes. I'm sure it will spark debate. If I say it, I've got to do it, but I might edit this out. I might set up a specific channel within the Discord if people want to have like long form discussion that doesn't fit in the tweets about the card. Made a rod for my own back there. But this has been a very fun hour or so. I would like to thank Eamon very much for coming up with this gimmick and coming back to do this with us. Eamon, feel free to tell everybody where you can find the internet if you want to be found. Is anything in the plug bucket you want to plug, anything like that?
Well, guys, first of all, there was one last thing I want to talk about, and that is the oppression of the Irish by English for hundreds of years. And it is because of that I think it is only fair people vote for my card.
Oh, God, no, hang on. We didn't say anything about campaigning.
Listen, you guys are playing checkers, okay?
I can oppress you right now and kick you off this damn call.
See, again, honest Irish man being silenced.
by an Englishman with an Irish name.
Yeah. He's gonna edit all my choices to be Shawn Michaels matches.
You're suddenly going to be like an AI bot.
Yeah. My God, he's on his sixth Heroes of Wrestling match. It's so strange. I would take some of those matches over the Iron Man match, honestly. The Michaels Bret one. But yeah, my plugs are all the same as they were last week. So I won't go into too much detail there again, but if you do want to follow me on Twitter, it's no_more_mutants. And this has been tons and tons of fun, guys. I have absolutely had a great time doing all these podcasts with you guys. So thank you.
And we've enjoyed having you on. Yeah. As for this show, you can go to linktr.ee/mustseematches for all the ways to subscribe, links to the full list of nominations and a load more. We are at mustseematches on Twitter, Instagram, Threads and Blue Sky. We have a Discord, as mentioned, bit.ly/mustseematchesdiscord. I am at Kieran Edits on Twitter and Mark is
at monkey_buckles.
Let me plug the other show. It is Nothing and Like It, a monthly look at the Frontier Wrestling Alliance's adventures on television, including, as I keep saying, eventually the stuff that I made. You can find everything to do with that at linktr.ee/fwapod. And maybe episode 7 will be out by the time you hear this, or it will be out shortly after you hear this because it's getting recorded as we record this in 2 days' time. Next week, just one more fight and we'll be history. Our most nominated match, Bret Hart versus Steve Austin from WrestleMania 13. And joining us will be what we are calling the Must-See Matches All-Star Panel. So make sure you're here for that. Thanks very much for listening and goodbye.